Call Senate State Affairs to order. It is right at 9 o'clock. In attendance today, Senator Diesel, our vice chair, Senator Coghill, and Senator Wilikowski, and myself, Chair Dyson. Senator Stedman has been asked to be excused for the rest of the session, except on an exception basis when he's needed for a quorum or a vote. Today, the usual thing, turn off your cell phones, or at least the obnoxious ringers. And today we're only going to hear one bill. It's Senate Bill 12 on public procurement. And Senator Fairclough, how would you like to proceed? Please identify. Go back a moment here. Nancy Jones, our Senate Records, is doing her job, which she always done very well. And Alex Giudice, did I say that right?
Giudice?
Yeah, forgive me. All right. Senator Fairclough, would you and your assistant identify yourselves for the record?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Anna Fairclough.
I'm Laura Pierre, staff to Senator Fairclough.
Yeah, welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you. Members of the committee, again, Anna Fairclough, representing East Anchorage and Eagle River. Before you is Senate Bill 12, a proposal to modify Alaska's small procurement code definition. It clarifies Alaska business license requirements, stating that a bidder must have a business license at the time the bid is open, otherwise they do not qualify for the Alaska bidder's preference. This bill increases the threshold under which a state agency may use the informal procurement process from $50,000 to $100,000 for goods and services and from $100,000 to $200,000 for construction. It changes the small procurement lease space threshold from 3,000 square feet to 7,000 square feet. It allows for the submission of electronic bids, modernizing our system. It eliminates an outdated vendor list. The department handles this currently online. It makes applications of the preferences that are currently spread throughout state statute to one section and uniform. It clarifies what preferences can be cumulative and those that cannot be combined.
Sorry, say that again, please.
Right now, there is sometimes where people that are in the process are requesting our procurement officers to calculate a bid at each level under each preference. And so this says if you can stack preferences, we're going to do one calculation. Before, there was just some disagreement on the interpretation of preferences since they were located in different places inside the code. So this pulls all of the statutes that talk about preference under one statute so that you can read them, and sets out a process that you can combine them and those that can't be combined.
Yeah, when you get done with your sectional analysis, I'd like to come back to that one and understand a little better.
Okay.
Please proceed.
It changes the pay for the chief procurement officer from a range 27 to a range 25. The administration is splitting this position so the chief procurement officer is no longer the director of general services. Collectively, these changes streamline the procurement process for our agency and in the end will benefit us in allowing enough time on larger procurements to really investigate those and do a cost benefit for the state. As well as for rural Alaska and smaller communities, it allows a small procurement process that more folks will be able to apply to the state to take part in, put more lease space available for us to rent from. With that, Mr. Chairman, do you want a sectional analysis, each section one by one?
Yes, and slow down a little bit, and I'd like to give committee members a chance to ask questions as you go through it.
Certainly. If I could just turn the sectional over to my chief of staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, my name is Laura Pierre. I'm staff to Senator Fairclough. So I'll just go through section by section of the bill, and I'm happy to take questions along the way. Vern Jones, the chief procurement officer, is here in the audience. He obviously speaks the procurement language quite well, so he could help with any more technical questions. Section one of the bill, this is just updating and renumbering. Like Senator Fairclough said in her opening comments, we're moving the procurement into one location and statute, and so this is just renumbering. And you'll see several sections that do that. Section 2, this amends the local agriculture preference. Rather than giving a 7% below, no more than 7% above products harvested outside the state, this is just giving to products that are purchased by the state or by school districts a 7% preference right off the top.
Senator Welikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my staff had talked to you, Laura. My understanding is this bill is the same bill that came out of State Affairs last year, except for the range 27 to 25. Everything else the same.
Okay. Through the chair, Senator Welikowski, yes, it's exactly the same.
A few hours on that last time.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. I'm intrigued by the all the preference that are given for, I think it's in-state folks. And at some point, would you, well, it's probably in the bill, but point me to where that shows them all. And is there a scoring system there? I'd just like to understand that a little more when it's appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, could we bring Vern up and he can talk about the stackability so that we then, as you can look at everything else with that filter?
Sure. And maybe, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I can go over the preferences as this bill would place them, if that helps, and go over their value. The one Laura just mentioned, I think, was the forest products preference, and several of them are written in that same manner. Agriculture preference. And let's see, what section was that?
Two.
I see, I think.
Yeah, right now.
And three.
Yeah, right now that preference says only agricultural products harvested in the state shall be purchased when priced no more than 7% above products harvested outside the state, and so forth. So what a person evaluating a bid claiming that preference has to do now is go through, figure out, you know, who's the low bid, what 7% of that, subtract that number from the bid with the qualifying agricultural preference. It's kind of a convoluted process, and SB 12 would do would just say you get a 7% preference, you know, 7% deducted from your price. It's much simpler and straightforward. And what we're trying to do here is simplify and clarify. So that's just one example. I'll go over all of the...
Excuse me. I assume that they're bidding against what an outside provider would charge for that process landed in Alaska.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
So as far as all of the preferences, the main one, of course, is the Alaska bidder preference, and that would be contained in 3630321, and that is a 5% preference. To get many of the other preferences, several of the other preferences, aside from these product preferences, you have to first qualify for the Alaska bidder preference, so in order to get a disability preference or the veteran preference, you have to first be qualified as an Alaskan bidder to even qualify for those. So those would be cumulative. So the next one is the employment program preference. That's also contained in 3630321.
So that's for employing Alaskans?
That is for employing developmentally disabled persons. It's what we used to call the sheltered workshop. That is a 15% preference.
Oofda.
There is also the disabled bidder preference. That is contained in 3630321, and that is a 10% preference. So the way that one would work is, if I am a bidder and I am disabled, or, you know, it's a corporation and all of the corporate members are disabled, or if it's a partnership and the partners are disabled, then I would qualify for the 5% Alaska bidder preference and the 10% disabled bidder preference. So I would get a 15% preference there. One thing I should probably note when we talk about the disability preferences, you know, we have these two that I mentioned, and what this bill does is eliminate a third, which is employers of the disabled preference. Right now we have a preference that it says if 50% or more of your workforce is disabled, you get a preference, and it's 10%. We've eliminated, this bill eliminates that one because it is so seldom used, and I think there's maybe some temptation there to misuse that. In fact, we only have two bidders and I think a total of two individuals that have ever benefited from all the years of this being on the book. So that one is being eliminated because we still have these two disability-related preferences. Next up is the Alaska veteran preference, and that is a 5% preference. That's contained in 3633.21. And again, to qualify for the veteran preference, you have to first qualify for the Alaska bidder preference. And if the Alaska bidder who is a veteran is also disabled, they would get 20% if you tally all those up. Of a preference.
Excuse me, Ms. Jones. Isn't there also one for disadvantaged minorities?
Mr. Chair, the state of Alaska does not have that preference. That is a federal preference. When the state uses certain federal funds like highways, FHWA monies, we are not allowed to apply our residency-based preferences, but we are required to apply those federal preferences like the one you mentioned. But no, we don't have that in our state statutes.
So I'm dancing around the issue of advantages for Alaskan Native corporations, I believe.
We do not, our statutes do not contain a preference for Native corporations.
And if there's a project or process that has federal money in it, then are we required to?
Mr. Chair, that depends on what restrictions come with that federal money. Certain federal funds, we get a lot of federal funds in health and social services, for example, that does not come with those strings attached. Federal highway funds is an example on the other end of the spectrum where we have very strict requirements that we cannot apply our preferences and we have to apply the federal preferences instead.
Yeah, so
it just depends on what the grant says.
With no prejudice intended, I see that a lot of Native corporations have a security providing group or arm. Would they only get a preference under a project with or federal money in it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Essentially.
Thank you.
Next, so those are the most of the statutory preferences for individuals and businesses. The rest of the preferences that I'll mention are the actual products that are being bid. And remember when I'm going over these that it doesn't matter who you are. You could be an outside firm bidding these products that get the preference, since your bid would still get a preference regardless of whether you're Alaskan or not. First up is the forest products preference. That's 3633.22. That's 7%, and again, we're making that change on these product preferences to make the application simpler. The agricultural products preference, 3615.050, that's 7%. And the fisheries product preference, 3615.050, also 7%.
Yeah. Senator Wilkowski has a question.
Thank you. I know there you always run into constitutional issues when you try to have a preference over one in-state versus out-of-state. So I assume the 7% is constitutional. What's sort of the outer limits? Have we, has that ever been tested? Is it 10%? Is it 15?
We have been challenged. I've been the chief procurement officer for 20 years, and I've only seen one challenge to the constitutionality of our preferences, and it was actually the Alaska offerer's preference, which is not in statute. It's in regulation, and that is a 10% overall preference. That was challenged in court. It did not get resolved. The one firm that was challenging the bid of another firm got purchased by that firm prior to resolution of the case, and the case was dropped. So we don't have any case law, you know, determining a specific preference.
Just if I can share it. So the 7%, is that where does that come from?
Through the chair, that was just the way the statute was written. I don't know. I don't have a reasoning behind why it's 7 instead of some other percentage. That's just what the legislature at that time decided.
Thanks.
Excellent question. Please proceed.
And the rest of the preferences that are dealt with in this bill are the Alaska products preferences, and there's three of them. And they're just class 1, 2, and 3. They're contained in 3630, 330. And the difference between 1, 2, and Alaska product class 1, 2, and 3 is the percentage that is manufactured or built in Alaska. Class 1 is 25% or more. Class 2 is 50% or more. Class 3 is 75% or more, and that's again a 4, 6, and 8% preference. Now, you can't get an agricultural product preference and a Alaska product preference because that's essentially the same thing. This statute bill makes it clear, you know, which ones you can combine and which ones you can't. There are other preferences not in this bill. We have a total of 13 preferences, which I think is probably the highest number of preferences of any state. I should mention, not to get diverted here, but one of the things that the bill does in 322, is simplify the qualification for the disability preference. Right now, the Division of Voc Rehab manages the qualification process, and they're actually required under current statute to individually, you know, evaluate each case. So they wind up, even if a veteran, say, comes in with his discharge papers and the VA has qualified that person as, you know, 90% disabled, our Voc Rehab has to go and speak to that person's doctor to verify because of the way the statute's written. This bill would simplify that by allowing Voc Rehab to just simply request a copy of the VA's determination or Social Security or PERS or TERS or a number of third-party qualification.
Please. So, if you don't mind, at this point, can you explain to us the limits on the stacking and how that's handled?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I can give you an example. A person who, well, I gave the example already, I think, that a person who is an Alaska resident who's been in, had a business for 6 months and operating in the state prior to the bid would get a 5% preference. If they have a disability, a qualifying disability, they would get another 10%. If they're a veteran, they would get another 5%. That's 20%. That would be, I think, as far as the personal preferences, the highest we would stack. But if they're also offering, if it's a bid, if they're offering a product, they would get an additional 7, 4, 6, or 8% if it's Alaska product preference on top of that, if it were an RFP. So these preferences all go to cost. an RFP situation, request for proposals or competitive sealed proposals, as our statute calls them, is not based entirely on cost. You have to evaluate cost as well as other factors. So we have an additional preference in regulation that is the Alaska offers preference. So in addition to these preferences affecting your cost, you would get a 10%, 10 point out of 100 preference in an RFP if you qualified for the Alaska bidder preference in addition to these. It's a bit more complicated when we have a request for proposals because we're looking at more than just cost. These all affect cost. We also have the residency-based preference for RFPs in addition to them.
Excuse me, does that include contracts for professional services?
Yes, sir, that's what it's intended for. For the most part, that's what the RFP is used predominantly for.
Thank you.
I think that probably is the primer on preferences.
Yeah, and thank you, and please forgive me for interrupting your logical progression here of the section analysis.
No, it's fine, Mr. Chairman. Again, Laura Pierre, for the record, staff to Senator Faircloth. We talked about Section 2, that was relating to the local agriculture preference and the 7% cost preference given to the qualifying bid. Section 3 is the same thing, just for a fisheries preference. Section 4, Vern spoke to this briefly, it would not allow someone to receive a agriculture or fisheries preference in addition to the Alaska product preference, so you can receive one or the other. Section 5, this is the section that amends the salary for the chief procurement officer. Section 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, those are all renumbering. So we're on to Section 11, which starts on page 5. This section increases the threshold limit for small procurements for lease space. This is from 3,000 square feet to 7,000 square feet. You'll see this again in Section 18 of the bill.
Almost all of my committee members can read quite well, and I suspect have gone through some analysis. Committee members have any questions on a specific section? And I think the analysis is quite thorough, and you've already covered that in the summary, I think. Any questions, any section? All right. Committee members have indicated that they don't. Any questions in general on this bill? Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question on the fiscal note. Since the employee category is reduced, wouldn't that reduce the cost to the state? That is, shouldn't this be a negative fiscal note?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, it's very difficult to gauge the value and the cost to the state of these preferences. I should probably state that we do not now have an automated procurement system where we track how much the preferences are costing us. All we know now is that we're applying them. We don't know if they're making a difference in the award, and if so, you know, how often and how much that's actually costing us. So it's very difficult to state categorically that, you know, if we eliminate a preference, that's going to save us funds, or if we establish a new one, it's going to cost us.
Could I rephrase the question? Yes. My question had to do with the procurement officer whose employment category is moving from 27 to 25.
Through the chair, I apologize. I thought you were talking about preferences, but prior to 2002, the Division of General Services had a director and a chief procurement officer position. That was combined. I've been doing both since then. This separates the positions, and we're actually adding a director position. We're doing that with the funds currently budgeted through some adjustments, so it's not costing anything, but it's not saving anything either.
Thank you.
Yeah, that eliminates the conflict of interest of you testifying in favor of a bill that reduces your salary.
Theoretically.
Senator Wilikowski.
I won't ask Vern if he objects to that section or not, but I know in the past there this has been very controversial. I think you've done a good job of eliminating many of the controversies, or if not all of them. Is there anyone out there that you're aware of that's opposing this or that has concerns over this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilikowski, we have the support of the State Chamber, as well as others. The only person that we know that would speak in opposition is the elimination of the preference that has been used by two people since its inception, so I don't want that to go unnoted. But beside that, we have not heard anything. There's just been, in the past, actually confusion about what we were doing. We just had a lengthy discussion on preferences and how they were stacked. And we're not changing any of the preferences that are in there, but we are defining what can be stacked in a clearer way so that the people of Alaska have a clear understanding of what's stacked and what's not stackable. And then for our department, clear instructions on how to calculate and do it in a much quicker manner so that we can reach conclusion. So those are the only people that I know that have spoken in opposition.
Senator Coggill.
Just a question on the last section 28, which says it takes effect immediately, and maybe this could go to the procurement officer as well, but that is a brand new start, no transition time. I know the transition language was on those pending bids, but it's an operational change. Is that in fact something that can be accomplished under this scenario? Maybe the senator can speak to that.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, there's transition language on page 13, line 29 is the transition section. Is there further transition, Senator Coghill, that you're concerned with?
What I was thinking about, probably, I can understand the bids that are in process and the procurement opportunities are in process, so I appreciate that, but there is it's going to be a new day for those walking in the door, and you know I wasn't too sure how that would look. And then the other question was, like for example, the Alaska preference in regulation. Does this push regulation issues into attention? That's all I'm asking.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I'll defer to the procurement officer.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, I don't believe that this will present a problem to us. We'll be able to, there will be regulations that will eventually need to be promulgated to accommodate this, but we can comply with the statute prior to those regulations being put in place through directing the workforce to and giving them instruction. The regulation will be more along the lines of clarifying. For example, we've doubled the threshold for smaller informal procurements. The different levels of competition required under that small procurement threshold are contained in regulation. So we'll need to go back eventually and adjust those, probably upward. But we don't have to do that now to be in compliance with the statute. It's desirable, and we'll do that, but there's no timeline on it.
Okay. That's all I was concerned about.
Right. Where are we here? Any further questions or discussion from the committee? We have at least one person wanting to testify, and maybe another one on at the LIO in Kenai. So I'll take those, and if there's any other questions and stuff, we'll come back to the committee. Scott Thorson in Anchorage, can you hear us, Scott?
Yes, can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Got you loud and clear. Please identify yourself and then proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Scott Thorson. I'm here today representing myself. I'm a 40-year Anchorage resident, small business owner, and I'm testifying in favor of this bill. I think it'll be very helpful to Alaska-based businesses, both in terms of clarifying the rules of bidding and being able to work a little bit more effectively with the various agencies under different bidding scenarios. I'd like to commend Senator Faircloth and Chief Procurement Officer Jones for, I think, working together to come up with something that will help, certainly help businesses like mine be able to be a bit more efficient and effective in the bidding process when submitting bids to the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Scott. Not to impeach your testimony at all, do you mind telling us what preferences you qualify for?
The Alaska bidder's preference.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Scott? Yeah, thank you for your testimony. Do we have anybody?
All right, welcome, sir. Thank you.
Anybody else here or online that wants to testify? Questions or discussion from the committee? Just a comment from the chair. This is the kind of thing I think the legislature ought to be. My experience is that the laws get written, then legislators with good intent come and add bits and pieces that often get inserted into the code in illogical ways that accomplish their goals but leave the whole section obfuscated, if not confusing. So I commend the senator for, and you, Mr. Jones, for what, a three-year effort, a four-year effort, five-year effort? You are the picture of persistence. But these are the kind of things that need to be done, and it looks like you've done very well. And I appreciate it. And the people of Alaska ought to, what's the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I'm pleased to make a motion to move Senate Bill 12, version 28-LS0222/N from this committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Is there objection? All right. Senate Bill 12 is moved on to the next committee of referral. And thank you. If there's no other business, we're adjourned.